knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in
Stop it.
Andy in Kansas.
Andy.
It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is Vindication.
Vindication?
I have been very publicly worried about Uncle Howdy.
There was concern.
Gotta say, I think I'm done.
You know, I think about sometimes people bring up like they're going through the back catalog listening to stuff, mm-hmm. and then they hear this like little saga of in bits or something like that. I love the idea of somebody like 10 years from now listening, being like, I got to know how this Uncle Howdy thing turns out.
What the fuck was this? A niche forgotten wrestling storyline?
This episode is what brings it home.
Man. Man, oh man. So for people who did not watch the Royal Rumble or are not aware of wrestling business, Bray Wyatt has come back and he's been tormented by a weirdo in a top hat named Uncle Howdy.
Sure.
And it was culminating in a pitch black Mountain Dew pitch black match.
Oof.
Between himself and this guy named LA Knight. And
right.
It turned out no one knew what the pitch black match was going to be. And it was just people in like glow in the dark.
It was
stuff.
Cosmic bowl. It was cosmic bowling.
Yes.
Yes. It was cosmic bowling.
I felt so bad.
Yeah, I know. That was really embarrassing.
If I hadn't been very public about how worried I was about this.
Being excited about it would have made you in retrospect feel real dumb.
Oh
yeah.
I would have felt so terrible.
Yeah.
Almost as terrible as you feel if you drink a little Mountain Dew pitch black. Why the fuck did they make that?
I don't know, but
so bad.
Somebody had it there.
Yeah.
Did you take a sip?
I did.
Oh.
I did. I tried a cocktail using it, I tried it just straight.
Yeah.
And it's very bad.
Neat. Not
yeah,
a good neat
yeah.
drink.
Pitch black neat. No ice. I don't like the ice melting and diluting
yeah, exactly.
the pitch black.
Exactly, I got to get the full flavor.
So anyway, I think I might be more accurately described as not that into wrestling.
It's getting...
I've given up on Bray Wyatt
it's
now at this point.
I think
farewell, sweet Bray.
My favorite part is that while we were watching that, I was like, okay, cool. And I went to the bathroom. Mm. I was gone for maybe 60 seconds. And then when I came back, they were like, you missed Uncle Howdy.
Yeah.
It was all gone. It was all done and gone.
Yeah. He showed up on the top of something really tall, threw a bad elbow, and
yep.
Then was gone.
Disappeared into the night.
Yep.
Good stuff.
So, Nelly. Anyway, it's a bright spot in some ways, because yeah. I guess I'm free of the curse of of Bray.
You know, you've had one foot in, one foot out for too long.
There's been a lot of hope that something would work out, and
sure.
this was just so embarrassing. Anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is it's very, very cold.
Okay,
that's
yeah,
not
yeah,
my
it
bright
is.
Spot.
I think it's about 5 degrees.
It's very, very cold outside.
Yeah.
My bright spot is my wife bought me some gloves. Mm. She bought me some really warm gloves, and every time there's that delicate equilibrium if you have a dog between having gloves and being able to open the dog bags
sure.
to pick up the shit.
I don't know about this, but I understand what you're talking
you've
about.
You've sensed, you know, yeah. those dog bags can be impossible to open those
sure.
sons. These gloves keep my hands warm and open the dog bag
but
perfectly.
Do they register on your phone?
No, they don't.
Uh-huh.
It's 2 out of 3. You can't have all three of those.
As Meatloaf once said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
Is that a song I know?
Neither was he.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Nice gloves?
Amazing gloves. Amazing gloves.
That makes a lot of difference.
Oh, yeah.
There were years when I had like some just shitty mittens.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, oh, I can do better than this, but I never thought to. And then I got good gloves, and I was like, oh man.
I always go back and forth. I'm like, okay, well, I get these fingerless gloves, mm-hmm. you know, so I can open the dog bags with my fingers.
And so you
fingers
can look badass.
Cold. Yeah, well, you got to look badass, yeah. obviously, because I lift weights all the time, mm-hmm. too. I'm always holding mm-hmm. a dumbbell. But then your fingers get cold, and then you get the warm gloves, can't open the dog bags. Yeah. So you got to take the glove off. It's a nightmare.
Nightmare.
These are perfect.
Well, that's great.
Yes.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode mm-hmm. that we're going to do here.
Okay.
So there's a couple of variables that are in play. Mm-hmm. First of all, we didn't have an episode on Monday due to Uncle Howdy's bad elbow drop that he threw.
Yes. Yep.
And also, I had been doing a lot of, I have a number of deposition stuff that I was going through. So there was a lot of that preloading work. So we're here on Wednesday, and I was really hoping to do a present day episode. Because I felt like it was time to check in.
Yeah.
But Alex has been out of studio.
He's been what?
He's been out of studio since like Wednesday.
Jesus.
Maybe Wednesday or Thursday, I think, the 26th.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think things are looking too well for his business.
No. Band.video video was down all morning today also. And here's the one thing I want to bring up.
Yeah.
There is one notable thing that happened in that time that we could catch up on, but it doesn't merit an episode.
Sure.
And that is Leanne McAdoo came back.
What?
Leanne was backadoo.
No shit. No shit?
Yeah.
That's been years.
Yeah, she was back in studio and doing an interview with Alex, and watching it just made me feel how dissonant everything was.
Yeah.
Because she comes from a different time.
Right.
In InfoWars, when it was smaller, it mm-hmm. didn't, you know, it doesn't feel right for her to be in the shouting about the devil.
Yeah,
and
what
stuff.
was she doing?
I don't know. It was boring as hell.
Well, I mean, for sure.
I skimmed through it a little bit. but yeah, it didn't feel right. But it also bummed me out because I had really hoped, or at least kind of thought, like, well, you know, she's living her life in the same way with like Jakari Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
at least they've moved on. Yeah, you know. Yeah, past is the past.
Right. And it kind of bummed me out to see her back on there. Like, you don't need to do this.
No,
nope. There's no reason.
That suggests
to do
the
this.
Past is not the past. You should leave it there.
So anyway, we're not going to talk about that.
Good.
We are talking about 2003.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about December 18th and 19th.
All right.
2003, that is a Thursday and Friday. And here's part of the reason.
Because the bath party is back. You've done some more research, and actually they never did debathification. They were all, they just took armbands off. They did, nope.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Although that doesn't come up on today's episode.
Okay.
So maybe Alex has changed
we'll
his mind secretly.
Yeah.
No, we'll see you on the 22nd. Ah. It's the weekend.
Ah, that's right.
And Alex did not have a Sunday show at this point.
2003.
So here's the deal. We have these live shows in Milwaukee coming up.
That's true.
And here's my hope.
Okay.
And maybe this is an excuse to do episodes in the past. I accept that that's a possibility. But I think it would be fun if we could do one of those episodes as Alex's response to Howard Dean's scream.
That would be amazing.
And we can do it.
It can be done.
That is in January 2004.
Right.
We can make it there in time.
Right.
But it just requires a little bit of commitment to the past.
Here's what it is, all right? It's not a rationalization if it's a goal.
Right.
And if it's a goal and you succeed, then it never was a rationalization to begin with.
And it's a victory.
See?
I like the way you think. So anyway, we're in the past.
Exactly.
And we'll get down to business on this episode, but first, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So this one is right on time. Merry Christmas. Krista, like Krista, but
yes.
Christmas also.
Yeah.
And happy birthday. Thank you so much. You're now Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thank you very much.
Right on time.
Right on time.
On cue. Next, and Jordan, we have a couple of technocrats in the mix. Thank you so much. Is now a Policy Wonk. But before we get to the episode, here are a couple of out-of-context drops. You are now a Policy Wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
That's mean. That's
sneaky.
Mean. That's too complicated.
Next, a little mental breaky for me. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
All right, well, now that seems perfectly curated immediately following the last one. That's
exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah. Next, here I am, wonks again. I'm torn into pieces. I knew they wanted me to sing. But anyway, you're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And David McSnibble Snabble of the Gribble Pibble. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And we got a technical credit in the mix, Jordan. Ooh. And this is not just another policy wonk name that's trying to throw me off.
Right.
You are now a policy wonk.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No, we got a technocrat. This is really fun. This is, first of all, thank you so much. Hail feckin' Satan. You're now a technocrat. But the reason I'm holding off on hitting the button here is because in parentheses, right after it says, if that's cool. They wanted their shout out to be a very polite salutation of Satan. So thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Now, Jordan, we do have an out-of-context drop. Ooh. From this episode.
All right.
So here you go. You're going to love to hear this because I know you were talking about your dog bags earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
98% of dogs will not eat you.
That's great.
That is great news.
Great news.
That is great news.
Although 2%.
Wait, but the question is when?
Mm-hmm.
When will those 2% eat me? While I'm sleeping?
Sure.
That's the worrying part.
Easy target.
Yeah,
when you're sleeping. Yeah, but 98% of dogs won't eat you.
Won't eat me. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's nice.
We're going to learn a lot about this later on in the episode.
Are there more dog facts?
Circumstances wherein dogs eat you.
There we go. Okay. Yep.
And I'd just like to remind you that Alex likes to kill dogs, allegedly.
Yeah, where's Nonk? Where's Nonk, man?
So we start on the 18th here, and man, oh man, there is a lot of treading water on this episode. He puts out the call for phone calls.
Sure.
And then is clearly not getting any. And so he's just filling time with what I would describe as meaningless platitudes.
The bumper sticker that reads, "The man who dies with the most toys wins," is a fraud. The man who dies, who has uplifted humanity, who has taken care of his or her children, the person that dies who has invented technologies and who has brought forward ideas of goodness, the person that builds civilization wins, the person who promotes creativity and freedom and decency and honor and family wins. And the globalists understand this. They're all about control. They're all about knocking out the spark of creativity, controlling it, dumbing us down. They're scared to death of you and your innate power. We're made in the image of God, ladies and gentlemen. And they want to rob us of the excitement and the dynamic contest that is life. They don't want you ever to get on the field. They want you to shrink into obscurity, never affecting change, never being a decision maker, never having power. And this show, this broadcast, is about exposing that.
It is.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Was he just arguing with a bumper sticker?
He was.
Okay.
I mean, that is definitely how it started.
I just want to be sure that we were arguing with a bumper sticker.
I saw a bumper sticker on the way in, and I have content for the day.
See, now that seems like an issue.
Yeah. Legit, I could not think anything other than, like, this is filler. He is just saying stuff.
Is there? I mean, I some respect where it's due. I don't think I could just, if I was doing a call-in show and no one called in, I don't think arguing with a bumper sticker would be up there, and I think that's a perfectly useful thing to do.
No, I think that, I mean, in another context, not in the context of Alex Jones, but
correct,
there is something fairly admirable from a performance standpoint of being able to say nothing for
exactly
a really long time.
It's very difficult to do.
Yeah, but it also is Alex, so it kind of sucks.
It's the worst.
But anyway, here's another minute of filler.
The global tyranny is out of its embryonic stage. It has been born. It has been loosed. It is now on 2 feet, toddling about, feeding on populations.
Uh-huh.
It will soon be a towering cyclopsian wickedness, 1,000 feet tall, rending the sheep-like population. My friends, it is upon us. It is upon us. the first waves of his black storm have smashed into what is left of Christendom.
Okay.
What is left of Western civilization.
Uh-huh. What else you got?
And I beg of you to think for yourselves, to break your conditioning, to fire up your internal combustion systems, to stoke the furnaces of liberty in your heart.
I have started taking a creative writing class.
I was going to say,
at the Adult Learning Center.
Welcome to Intro to Metaphors.
Yeah, I was worried. I was thinking at this point, boy, there's not much going on here.
Mm.
This episode could be a snooze.
Mm.
But then we get some calls. And also, before that, Alex, he has some space thoughts.
He has some space thoughts. We love space thoughts.
Here. Right.
We're huge space thoughts fans.
Well, see, apparently, we heard about this on a previous episode.
Yeah.
Bush was supposed to announce that we're going back to the moon.
Correct.
And he did not. And Alex has some thoughts about the moon.
Bush was scheduled yesterday to announce another lunar mission to the old moon.
The old moon.
That happened in, 30-plus years.
Old moony.
Now, they've sent probes and other things. Then we'll get into the whole argument of, did we go to the moon? Well, I know they got advanced technology, but I have seen the photographs released by the government where you'll have the little distance markers on the lens of the camera.
Okay, you can't not think we went to the moon.
Well, that's impossible. You understand what I'm saying? You know how in a camera they'll have a little X or target mark in the middle? How do you have a photo where the astronaut is partially in front of something that's on the lens? Why do they release all those photos with that? Why, is the flag flapping? Why aren't there any stars in the field? Again, I don't talk about that. I don't get into that because there's no way to prove it either way.
Well, all of those things that you're describing as weird are very easily explained.
So provable.
Yes.
We went to the... Here's my problem,
uh-huh.
All right? He cannot not think we went to the moon.
Why?
Because based upon his conception of the enemy, quote unquote, that we are facing, mm-hmm. and their technological advancement, for us not to have gone to the moon would mean any number of different technologies simply couldn't exist. Or if they did, then that means that he believes that we have the 100% easy technological capability to go to the moon whenever we want.
No, sure. Yeah.
And yet somehow, for one reason, we didn't few times.
Alex does bring that up, that we have all this technology that is being secreted away from people.
Right, med beds!
And so that's a possibility for why we did go to the moon. But there's also other reasons to think maybe we didn't.
No, there aren't!
I don't know what any of them are. All of his are bad.
Okay.
So here's just what I think.
Uh-huh.
I understand the impetus that he has.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to be interesting and he has to appeal to a crowd of people who don't believe shit at all. So I mean,
can't just say that, of course, we went to the moon.
Right.
That's not going to fly on this show.
You're going to turn off a lot of people.
Right.
But it's just funny to me that, like, you have this rigorous kind of attention to detail, like, look, I wasn't on the moon. I don't know. I can't prove it either way. Maybe we did go to the moon. Maybe we don't. But then he makes up the dumbest shit about other stuff, and he just accepts that as true.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that's true.
Obviously, there were 7 gunmen at this shooting or whatever.
Oh, no, that's not Saddam. You can see because he doesn't have the right beard length.
His kids and himself are with a bunch of gold in Belarus.
Yes!
It's important. Actually, remember that. Belarus.
Belarus.
Yes, this will come back.
It all comes back to Belarus.
It does.
Vachenko.
Uh-huh. So, like I said, there were some calls.
Uh-huh.
And this character wants to get into whether or not the moon was staged.
Okay.
Yes, Alex, I own a Pioneer laser disc of the original moonwalk. And as Bill Cooper contended, you can see a cable, a black wire cable running along the ground or the floor. And Bill Cooper said that actually the lunar walk was filmed in a Disney studio in Florida. So are we being bamboozled again?
Well, they claim that a man who staged another moon landing in 2001 Space Odyssey in the mid-60s, they claim Stanley Kubrick had done that, and they claim that Stanley Kubrick, among other things, making Eyes Wide Shut, was about to weigh in on what he had done, because they supposedly used Kubrick because he'd already done a successful staging that you couldn't tell was fake, but that they admitted was a representation.
Are you telling me that you didn't know 2001 was a movie?
Is a movie making of Arthur C. Clarke's book.
It was so real.
Are you telling me?
It was so good that the government was like, you gotta do that for us.
Wait, is that genuinely part of the rationale for it? Is that they saw him do such a good job that they were like, whoa, that's exactly what it's like when we did land on the moon, so now when we tell people...
I gotta say that I'm not the world's biggest expert in moon landing conspiracies. But I've dabbled around.
Sure.
That is not what I've heard.
I have not heard that one.
No.
No.
That 2001 was so good that they got him to do it.
I thought, isn't it supposed to be like the other movies are him revealing through little Easter eggs that he did fake the moon landing? Like, I saw Room 237. Everybody that in that documentary was like, oh, The Shining is him admitting he faked the moon landing.
Sure. Yeah. People do say that. Although, I love this turn of phrase. That, like, Kubrick made Eyes Wide Shut, and he was about to weigh in.
Yep.
I'm going to weigh in on this. Hey, just let me side over here and weigh in on how I faked it's landing about, on the moon.
Listen, you guys have been talking for a while. Now that I got Tommy Cruise over here right next to me, I'm going to go ahead and let you know I faked the moon landing.
Weighing in. So we have another caller.
Okay.
We have no closure on whether or not the moon landing was faked.
Still don't know.
Nope. Alex, iffy on the subject.
Yeah, yes.
Alex, I understand that within the last 48 hours, you have told the people that on Saturday, while the alleged Hussein double was being captured, that the Congress passed into law secretly the Patriot II and was signed by Bush. Can you confirm this, sir?
Yes, and people keep bringing this up, and rightfully so. I'm glad you're concerned.
There's a lot to sign off on there that definitely doesn't match the rest of the shit.
People keep bringing this up a lot, Alex, because it did not happen.
Well, Alex hasn't even been on the Saddam clone, or not clone, body double thing. So Alex is now agreeing to that was
sure.
fake.
Yeah, why not?
And Alex... Like, I don't think he said that it was secretly passed. It was just another bill that was allegedly Patriot Act 2 because Ron Paul talked some shit.
Right.
So now we have a whole new narrative taking shape that this caller is putting forth that Alex is signing off on.
Collaborative storytelling can be fun.
And irresponsible.
True.
So Alex has a something to say about the globalists' trick that they do. They have a trick that they can play.
Their big trick.
And it's not a trick.
Oh.
The globalists have a great tactic. They kill Kennedy, they put out their official story, blanket the news, everybody hears it, and then it takes us 30, 40 years to expose the truth, and now 92% of the American people say the government killed Kennedy in major polls.
What?
I looked at dozens of them a month ago on the 40th anniversary. Dozens of polls, and they were all 85 to 96, 7%. And I actually sat there with a calculator for an hour. Calculated over a dozen different polls, a local KXAN TV poll, a New York Times poll, USA Today.
They've always been trustworthy.
CNN poll. I just averaged a bunch of these polls together, but they were all above 85%. And they averaged up to 92%. And it's the same thing with Patriot Act 2 or Patriot Act 1. It took us a year before Patriot Act 1 got in the news. I mean, I wrote an analysis of Patriot Act 1. Just about a week after Patriot Act 1 was written, and no one even knew about the provisions of it. The average person hadn't heard about it till a year later, and that took our labor to get that out.
So if you want to translate the trick that Alex is talking about the globalists have, what he's saying is that there's a general understanding of what happened in an event, that once that happens, it becomes difficult for him to get his bullshit to stick.
Right.
This is essentially my wet concrete metaphor. The only chance Alex has to get his narratives any traction is to act fast. Too fast for fact-checking or any kind of responsible process, in fact. Taken to its logical conclusion, the ultimate goal really is making up news before it happens,
right.
or becoming tomorrow's news today.
Exactly.
Which is why no one should be too surprised that this is where this goes.
It does seem like an inevitable end.
In hindsight.
Right. Right, yeah. Right. Teleologically.
Also, I lived through the post 9/11 period, and I will say that Alex was absolutely not the only person who was concerned about the Patriot Act. The town I lived in, Columbia, had a fairly decent left-wing activist community, and it was something that was discussed well prior to a year after the bill passed.
Yeah.
This is just Alex being delusional and imagining he's more unique than he is. Like, the ACLU was fighting it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Alex's mortal enemy is the ACLU.
I would like to know if there has been 92% of Americans agreeing on anything in any poll ever. I know for a fact we can't get to 92% on whether or not you should put some Ebola in your drink. Like, I don't know what 92% of Americans agree on ever.
Yeah, I mean, I'll look up, I'll see.
How many times have we seen so many obvious, should you put your hand in a burning bush? And 50% of America's like, what if it's Jesus talking? And you're like, well, I guess that's a fair point.
Well, actually, hold on. Okay, so yeah. I'm Googling this here, and I got a Gallup poll from 2013.
A poll on how many Americans believe that Americans will agree on polls.
Majority in U.S. still believe JFK killed in a conspiracy.
All right. Well, I mean,
see, the reason I let it slide was because it, like, I think it kind of checks out. I feel like a lot of people are pretty suspicious about JFK.
I think the reason, though, is also kind of just fun. Like, I think at a certain point, okay.
I think Alex is actually fairly close. According to this Gallup tracking, 2003 was like about 75% believe that there were others involved than just one
That's
person.
That's really high.
Yeah.
That is really high.
But it's down from 81 in like 2001.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it is in that ballpark.
I finally don't believe that there is a conspiracy around it. If 80% of Americans believe it, well, then obviously it happened the way that it was supposed to. This is the most oppositional defiance that's ever come in handy in my life.
It also is a little bit shocking to consider that, like, you know, you have this majority of people who believe that the president was assassinated in a conspiracy, and no one has done anything.
Nobody's
about it.
Really that miffed.
Just let it go.
Ah, come on. I mean, who doesn't believe
it? It was a long time ago.
Every now and again, there's a conspiracy. What are you going to do?
So Alex gets another caller, and this guy has a public access show, and he decided to play Alex's Bohemian Grove documentary on it. And he got a little bit of a surprise.
One other thing, Alex. I put your Bohemian Grove on cable access the other day.
Wonderful.
And when I got it back, they had blocked out a portion where George W. was involved.
The local access station erased the tape or didn't air?
Yeah, they erased two parts of it. One in the middle. I don't know what that was, but I know that they did erase the part where George W. was. You could just see just a real quick flash of him.
You're talking about where I show news articles with him there? That was blocked out?
Yes. Yeah, they blew it out.
Where is that in Indiana, Dick?
Richmond.
And but they did air it.
Oh, yeah, they did air it.
And then they destroyed your property?
They did. They destroyed it.
Well... Dick, write me a letter, and I appreciate you airing that. We'll try to get you another copy, and that is disgusting, and you need to demand that they pay you for damaging your property.
You don't think it might have been an accident, or, you know...
I mean...
If it's a tape, if it's like a VHS
it's
tape...
It's a literal tape. In 2003, which I understand 2003 is the past... But we still didn't use VHS tapes as much as you might think.
But I think this would have been, for sure, based on it being a local access station in Indiana.
It might even have been a beta tape.
No, probably not.
Nah, I doubt it.
But it could have just been some sort of a glitch or something. They didn't edit over
magnetic. Those are magnetic.
They didn't intentionally black out the part with George Bush. God. Like, as if, like, oh, this is the only copy of this.
Back in the day, you could put a magnet too close to a tape and it would go away.
Right.
Yeah.
See, this is the problem with thinking everything is a conspiracy. Something like this happens and you're like, oh my God.
And then Alex has to go into customer service mode. We'll send you a new tape right away, sir.
Well, actually, see, there's an interesting dynamic here. There is that little bit of customer service, but then there's a larger picture to this, and that is, like, Alex wants everybody who has public access shows to play his content.
Yep.
Now, that is not what public access is for.
No.
But
free publicity?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's what he wants.
When you try to air one of my documentaries locally on Access, and they say they'll usually air it, then they'll get one or two complaints from the mayor.
What?
And there's been a bunch of news articles.
Get this off my way.
Newspaper articles where it causes big controversies. Big ones in Maine. They shut down the whole access station because of it. Controversies in upstate New York. Controversies in Florida over the films. We've covered those on air. We've had guests on about it. They'll put it on. People will freak out over it. You could have naked, topless women on these access channels. Nobody cares. But you start airing this hardcore stuff, the concentration camps, who carried out 9/11, local constabulary gets mad. I'll talk to the local access station. They'll say, well,
sorry,
we had
what?
50 calls saying, please air it again. We had one call from the local government, and we're not going to air it anymore. That's usually the MO. But they have these rules nationally that the feds have written for the local governments. They're just guidelines that say it's got to be have a local interest. Well, every time they tell one of our listeners this, I tell the listener off air, I might as well tell them on air, watch the channel. Tape all the federal propaganda tapes. Tape the other stuff that was made outside the city. Show that they're airing stuff that doesn't have a local interest. Then go to them and say, you better air my tape or I'm going to sue you for discrimination.
So that,
it's real simple.
That scenario that Alex is describing has definitely not happened a bunch of times. And I would be shocked if it's ever happened. Like an outraged mayor, the constabulary cracking down on a local access channel because they played Alex's film. The fuck out of here. What you can see here is Alex trying to find these fringe, off-the-beaten-path ways to get his content out, and it's really interesting to recognize how big a priority that has been to him his whole career. You get the sense that even here in 2003, Alex is fully aware that no one wants him, and he's essentially unemployable in any formal place of business, and he's going to have to make it on his own. No network is ever going to pick up his show, but his listeners can try to spam his shit on public access. It really is like the predecessor to his later effective adoption of social media and YouTube. For whatever else we say about him, Alex is fairly crafty on this front, probably because he has to be.
Yep.
Now, the problem is that local access airwaves aren't just free time slots for Alex to hijack.
Ooh.
This is pretty rich that he's suggesting that this listener go to the extent of suing the station for discrimination if they won't air Alex's dumb videos. Because it also implies that Alex realizes that discrimination laws are real.
Ooh, that they might be useful?
But there's also a conflation that's going on here, and that is local access and public access.
Right.
Those are two different sort of types of content.
I mean, it is fascinating.
PBS is what Alex is talking about.
Right.
That's what he's talking about,
right.
Or NPR type public radio station,
yeah.
As opposed to any weirdo can come in and get a show, like Chris Gethard.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is such a wild thing to think about. But even back then, Alex is basically like, I'm not going to be syndicated unless people do it on my behalf. In the same way that I'm not going to get my shit out on Facebook unless people post it on for me.
And unless you put out a ton.
A shit ton of content.
And break down barriers to access, yep. Like telling everybody you can just repost my shit for free.
Yep.
And incentivizing people to do it by being like, you're going to go to a FEMA camp if
totally.
You don't.
Totally. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a fucked up business model, but if you were like playing a game where you never actually had to see the horrors that this would inflict on people,
mm-hmm.
That would be a good winning strategy, you know, because you don't have the institutional support, you don't have all of this stuff, but if you put it in real life, then you're a monster ruining people's lives, so don't do that.
I would say it's not wise.
That's my advice.
It's not cool.
Yeah.
So Alex has George Humphrey on, who's a local show guy in mm-hmm. Austin, and also just a weirdo that Alex has on a bit. I don't know what this guy's fucking deal is, honestly.
His name's George Humphrey.
I think he was on like the city council or something.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about him at least 10 times.
So he's definitely made some calls to get some public access shit off the air.
He's on public access.
Well, you know he's good.
Yeah. His name is apparently on the plaque outside the Austin Public Access Station,
sure.
According to Alex.
Oh, that's great.
Now, I don't know why this guy is.
Why is?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't
why
know,
is you?
I don't know what his deal is. I don't know what his... I don't know what his claim to fame is other than like years past he was on the city council.
Yeah.
He is like trying to rock climb the giant beam downtown. You just, there's nothing to grab onto.
Sheer face.
Yeah, you're just going to slip off.
You're just going to slide down.
Yeah. I can't stand this George Humphrey guy because he's bland. Anyway, their shows on public access. Yes. Alex and George Humphreys are being cyber attacked.
Oh, no!
It is amazing that the country that is supposed to have the First Amendment of free speech and freedom of the press is that these access stations, which were built specifically to give the people access to speak, are being censored.
By the way, on the big access station in Austin, whose name is on the plaque from when they broke ground on it? Who voted to put that in?
Well, there were several of us that worked on it.
But your name is on it.
Yes.
And now, on my show, on your show, specifically the Patriot shows, what happens for the last 2 months every time we're on, George?
Well, at least on my show, is that there has been some technical interference. Now, I don't know what is causing
that. Okay, well, we know. It's an FM modulator sending it through Grande and Time Warner, and it happened 3 years ago. We demanded they stop it. And it blacks out, folks. They're blacking us out. Only happens on our shows.
Well, as a matter of fact, and again, I'm not saying that they are doing this. I'm just telling the listeners what happened. Last night on my show, we couldn't get up for the first 2.5 minutes. But anyway,
you need some Super Male Vitality,
so
am I right?
I'm very grateful that here in Austin we do have this access because we have the ability to speak to the people, and with shows like yours and 3 or 4 other shows, is that Austin in many ways has become somewhat educated and one of the leaders of the resistance to what's going on. And it all has to do with education and information.
Well, it does, and you know, they're shutting access down around the country. I didn't mean to get off into a discussion of this, but for folks that haven't put my films on or haven't gotten your own shows, you need to do it. This is a way. We have millions of listeners. If all of you in your town go get an access show, and if they try to stop you, get their rules, get around it. It's
get
easy in most
rules.
Places. A lot of times they're
get
patriots
them.
There, folks. Well, most of the time they'll be happy to put you on. Just some of the time you get resistance. You need to put this on. You need... This is a venue to reach millions of people, George.
Well, absolutely.
Not for you.
No, that's not how it works.
You know what? The stuff that Humphrey's saying about like Austin public access, it's like, yes, you and Alex have shows on that. You live in Austin.
Yeah.
That is your local access. Makes sense. I don't think that Alex would love it if like people started playing like Michael Moore movies.
No,
tried to start just clogging the airwaves with nothing but Michael Moore movies.
Yeah.
But that's the exact same strategy that he's trying to get his audience to carry out on his behalf.
Yeah.
And
it's a real piece of shit thing to do.
Right.
It only works because it's an abuse that people are like, there's an inherent level of people just going like, hey, we understand that this isn't perfect. But if you don't abuse this too much, we're not going to fucking fight about it because we don't know where exactly the line is. So if you abuse it a little bit, fucking, you know what? You got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, so because they're going to let us get away with a little bit, what if we just overrun the entire fucking system?
Well, and he's found like a sort of a weak point in as much as like a lot of people don't care about
public access
type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so like...
arbitrage.
You might be able to steamroll a little bit there, whereas you would not be able to do that in other mediums. You wouldn't be able to do that at a radio station
or
a real TV channel. I don't mean to say real TV channel. I don't want to impugn local access.
No, of course. Many of the favorite things that I've seen people make have been on local access.
So I just have to check in here. Alex gives us an update on the success rate of the tapes.
Okay.
Take action. 90% of those that see the films are waking up. The New World Order is so out in the open now. It's hidden in plain sight. We just got to point it out to folks, and they're waking up. What we got to do it quick. before the globalists carry out more terror.
So in a 90% success rate.
Wait, was that up from 85 or is that down from 92? Because I think we were at 99.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
98-ish.
98-ish, right.
About as many
there.
As dogs won't eat you.
As won't eat you.
Yeah, yeah, right around that point.
It was right there. Then they added some new breeds of people.
But
and
then
so,
it went down to 85. Right. I do remember that.
I'm fairly certain it was down to 85 at one point.
I think it did go back up and then it's back down a little bit to
right,
90.
Right, right, right.
Whew. Drama.
That is a stock ticker to watch.
Mm-hmm. Watch this space.
Watch this space.
So Alex talks a lot on this episode about chemtrails, but he doesn't say anything meaningful, really. Like, obviously, we already know through, like, constant, like, over the years, Alex believes in chemtrails. They're spraying shit.
Sure, 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 sure.
But in this entire episode, it's just kind of like, I when I was younger, those lines would go way faster. I've seen it with my own eyes, and like, I don't really give a
all
shit.
All right, now you're a drunk old man at a bar.
But there's one clip that I wanted to play because Alex talks about chemtrails a lot.
Okay,
it's not
like a lot.
It's not an uncommon thing.
Sure.
And so this caller calls in, and he's like, I just want to thank you for talking about this stuff. Like, as if Alex has been holding back on talking about chemtrails. And I think it's really silly, and Alex's response is kind of appropriate.
TJ in Minnesota. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Alex, I'll talk as fast as I can. I never expected to make a call to you again because we got jammed off your AM affiliates the last time I tried talking about spray planes. I want to thank you. I think you've turned a career corner or a vocational corner or a pro-life corner in your career today by having this man on, but most especially because you're talking about spray planes, ad spray. Let's throw this chemtrail demonized word out the window and talk real military science. This country's been sprayed for 3 years or more, every single state. Your guest knows. He knows.
What?
And I never expected you to have a guest on that knows that
sir,
he's
I've
being
had,
sprayed.
Had, sir, I've had Clifford Carnicom on. I've had George Humphrey on probably, I don't know, 10 times. So.
Make it a primary target, Alex. Make it the primary target.
Who the fuck
target.
Are you, man?
One primary
who
target.
Are you?
Knowledge is not power unless the governors of our sovereign states take action to get these aircraft out of our airspace, and God bless you, you're back on the white guy list.
What?
The white star list, the good guy list for what you've done this morning.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, I cover chemtrails and the bill, the legislation, in Road to Tyranny, sir. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I covered ooh, this. I've had George Humphrey on a bunch.
It's kind of my thing, man.
Cliff Kardikoff, whoever the fuck that is.
Who are you? Yeah. Who are you,
TJ?
TJ, what are you talking about?
TJ wanted to give Alex a nice pep talk.
You know what? I'll say this.
For doing something that he does fairly regularly.
You're not usually an impressions guy, but you did a fairly good version of him up top.
Thank you.
Before the clip. I think that was pretty good.
I appreciate it.
I got it.
So we have one last clip from this episode, and it's... I felt very bored. Most of the show is fairly boring.
Sure. No.
The 19th is definitely greener pastures.
What little I heard of George Humphrey, very boring.
So we have 20 minutes left in the show, and Alex is teasing that he's going to get to his headlines.
Now, coming up, we're going to talk about him throwing out the enemy combatant designation. That doesn't mean Bush is going to quit. Bush being paid off by the communist Chinese and through his family.
Of course.
I want to get into the fake terror alerts, you name it, here in just a few minutes. We'll go to that. Right now, I want to bring Jim Shepard up, the owner and head guy at New Millennium Concepts, who makes the best water filters I know
of.
There's 20 minutes left in the show, and instead of going to your actual news, you're going to do a fucking infomercial with your water guy.
Come on, we got 20 minutes for the water filter guy.
And also, one of those headlines that he's not getting to about the fake terror alerts.
Uh-huh.
Guess who is at play right at this point in 2003?
December 18th, 2003.
Dennis Montgomery is currently defrauding the government.
Get the fuck out.
His false warnings that discerning from Al Jazeera TV and shit.
Yeah.
All this stuff, that was going on. That it was like... It was happening as... So, like, Alex doesn't realize that... If he knows what he's talking about, the person who's behind fraudulent terror
right.
warnings
right.
would later become a gigantic piece of his conspiracies about Trump being spied on and election conspiracies.
It's like a heist building a crew movie where they're like, oh, that guy's in jail, that guy's in jail. Who's that? Oh, no, you remember this guy? Bring him back in here. That's crazy. Mm. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, Dennis Montgomery is one of those guys who's going to be like, I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. I'm a con man's con man.
The number of tendrils that slowly find their way back to somebody being conned by Dennis Montgomery at some point. Bananas.
Yeah. So actually, a little bit after this is when that stuff really starts to come out.
Yeah.
But at this point, there were just like rumblings of like anonymous sources within the FBI
sure,
and stuff had
sure.
said that these alerts
right.
I don't know about that. People right. are just anxious to see signs wherever.
Sure.
And so
reasonable. Everybody was being told at a near constant clip that terrorism was around the corner.
But it's all Dennis.
See something.
Maybe
say
not all
something.
Dennis, but Dennis is definitely in play.
Dennis is in play.
So we get to the 19th and Alex once again puts out the sign. I want some calls.
1-800-259-9231, any issue, any item, any topic of discussion, any angle you want to explore, any paradigm you want to shatter, any piece of propaganda you want to reveal.
Hey, Alex, I just called in because I wanted to shatter a paradigm.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little broad.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about? Why not just come out and say, I want you guys to do my show for me?
I
want to
shatter a paradigm.
What paradigm?
All.
All paradigms?
Yes.
Do you mean the paradigm of paradigms?
I would like to shatter the paradigm of Alex not preparing and reporting fake stories.
Ah, that's a good pattern.
Because that paradigm continues here.
And, of course, about 4 weeks ago, a family of five was kidnapped who lived about 4 miles over the U.S. border
okay.
by Mexican troops. And last time I saw an article about it a few days ago, they're still holding one of them. There's absolutely zero national news on this, just a few local news stories about it. Search continues for Border Patrol agents. Authorities on Thursday search for a U.S. Border Patrol agent who disappeared while pursuing suspected illegal immigrants along the Colorado River earlier this week.
No one else is reporting on that story about the family being kidnapped by Mexican soldiers because it's not real.
Oh, that would be a really good reason.
We talked about that on a past episode.
Yeah, you're right.
Alex desperately wants it to be real so it can help justify his hatred of immigrants.
Sure.
So as far as InfoWars is concerned, it's definitely real. That's the level of rigor that he brings to the table and why people should trust him as a good source of information.
That's why he'll show up where there's buses and he'll be like, ah, see, they've got white kids on that bus. And that's it.
Oh, man.
He nailed it.
Yeah, and then he'll be a seatbelt snitch.
Yeah, they were wearing seatbelts, right.
So this story about the Border Patrol agent is very tragic, and Alex is reporting it as a situation where it's likely that the agent was killed by coyotes that he was following. In reality, this is about 24-year-old a guy named James Epling, who had rescued an immigrant from drowning in the Colorado River and then disappeared. It turned out he had disappeared because he had drowned himself, attempting to pursue another immigrant that was later charged with transporting people across the border.
Hmm.
It's sad because the death was needless and he was so young, but there was no murderous intent or violence perpetrated by the immigrants. Epling risked his own safety to save the one person who was drowning, and that's a commendable act. It's just unfortunate that things ended up the way they did, and these are the circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, that's a situation where everybody involved seems to be doing what to them is the right thing, and I can't really argue with them, and the only people in the wrong are nameless, faceless governments fucking with them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If it weren't a circumstance where people were trying to clandestinely come over the border, then they wouldn't probably be in a position where this Border Patrol agent
right.
risks his safety to help someone who's drowning and then drowns himself chasing another guy.
Yep.
Circumstance.
The number of needless deaths.
And it's tragic that his death at this point, his disappearance is being used as like, you know, for xenophobic agitation by people like Alex.
A guy who is
shit.
Heroically trying to save the people that he has ostensibly criminalized.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, that's a story of what it means to be human. Instead of being like, aha, see, that's why we should hate them more.
Yeah, it's
great.
A bummer.
Great.
So, now, I got to say.
Yeah.
When I said that the 19th is better, it's not because of any, like, real content per se.
Sure.
Or any important news.
They didn't get Kubrick on this one?
Mm-mm. Mm. It's because I think I realized where me and Alex differ. I think I finally figured out why we have such beef.
Shoes.
There's an interesting article here. Cats try to eat incapacitated...
It's really this.
at an L.A. apartment, a group of hungry cats began to eat their 86-year-old owner after she suffered an apparent stroke. That's horrible, folks. I don't usually get into such gory side issues, but it's just interesting. And couldn't get up for nearly a week, officials said Thursday. That shows how much your cats love you. Your cats are absolute trash.
Damn.
Wow.
That's
I'm
harsh.
I'm sorry. So if I understand correctly.
Also, why was he laughing while he read that story?
I mean, this is weird.
Yeah.
This whole thing
he
is
hates
weird.
Cats.
I mean, I understand he hates cats. I don't understand how this story justifies calling all cats trash.
Your cats are trash.
I don't understand how this story is also like, I apologize for sharing the gory details with you. I don't understand any part of this story other than Alex hates cats.
Right. And I would argue that it's entirely possible that we learn over the course of this that the cat might be a stand-in for his wife. Now ex-wife. So yeah, Alex complained some more about cats.
Okay.
Your dog, if it loves you, 98% of dogs will not eat you, and then this has been found in 1,000 cases. It's in police files. You can be collapsed for a week. The dog can be starving, no water. It will chew a hole through a thick wooden door. It will bark. It will freak out. It will pull you out of the water. It will lick your face. It will love you. Cats will eat you. This has happened before. Cats don't love you. Okay, I just want to. I'm a dog lover, folks, and it's a side issue. But I don't like cats. I can't stand them. They don't care about you. You can just tell the way they act, the way they look at you, their mannerisms. It just how anybody would have cats over dogs. I know we got a lot of cat lovers out there. Maybe your cat likes you, but I guarantee you. When the going gets rough, that cat will turn its back on you, if not try to eat you.
Damn.
Okay, I have a new theory.
Yeah.
All right, here's my new theory.
Okay.
And this is what we've been missing this whole time.
I'm listening.
Alex, actually, 4,000-year-old mummy.
Hmm.
That's why he's afraid of cats. All right? He was embalmed.
Mm-hmm.
He was obviously cursed. And then he would return to Rome to wreak destruction upon this planet, mm-hmm. but obviously still scared of cats.
This is a possibility.
I think so.
I know what he's going to say, and so I'm sticking with my theory.
Okay, all right.
That he's just mad at his wife.
Okay, so not mummy.
No.
Still, we're fairly certain on not mummy here.
I'm going to go with Occam's razor tells me that he's mad at his wife.
All right, well, we got to get Brendan Fraser over here because...
This is such an unnecessary level of shitting on cats.
So angry at cats. This cannot just be about cats.
But it's not even just like, I don't like cats. It's you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You shouldn't like cats.
You liking cats is wrong.
You're delusional to think they like you. Great. Anyway, this goes on.
Here we go.
That's happened many times, and the dog will starve to death rather than eat you. But not now. If a dog doesn't know you, it will eat you if it's starving. But not if it knows you. She was listed in fair condition at Kaiser Medical Center, said hospital spokesman Lisa Court. We got more serious issues. I don't want to go on my crusade against cats to never mentioned on air. I even have a cat. My wife has a cat, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't care about me. It doesn't care about her. Mm. It's annoying. It's stupid. Okay. I've opened a can of worms here. I'm sorry. I like dogs, okay?
I have a theory. And it's that Alex is an angry piece of shit.
Yeah.
And cats stay away from people who are like that.
Cats don't like angry pieces of shit.
No. Generally, you know, outbursts and like kind of stuff usually spooks cats.
Yeah.
Makes them run away.
Right. But dogs are trained for affection, so they'll find it even within violent outbursts.
Right.
Obviously.
Certainly not 100% either direction, but typically speaking, you're not going to have, like, a cat isn't going to put up with a lot.
Right. I think you're on to something that's so fundamental, so like pure, and that is this. A cat will give you consequences. If a cat does not like what you're doing, it will go, because you did this, this will now happen to you.
And if you're kind of a narcissistic, self-centered person, you'll assume that the cat is just an asshole.
Yes.
Now, some cats are assholes. I'll grant that.
Hey.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's you, man.
I got two lovely dogs. I love them with my whole heart. You've got Celine. I love Celine with my whole heart. Mm-hmm. I am not choosing a side in the cat v. dog because the person who is wrong in the cat v. dog conversation is the person.
Is the person who has a strong opinion.
Yes.
I like both as well, but I definitely prefer the company of a cat.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because I'm a little bit chiller, and I don't really enjoy dogs jumping all around. Did I want to take them on a walk or anything?
I'll tell you this.
I'm lazy.
I couldn't have a dog by myself.
Sure.
Right.
It's very helpful to have another person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my wife is allergic to cats.
Right.
So it's like the math on that is if I were by myself, I would instantly have a cat over a dog.
Yeah.
But since, you know, I can't do, you know.
Well, and now here's another plot twist.
Sure.
When I first got her, Celine was an asshole.
Right.
She was a bit of an asshole.
Sure.
And that was because she'd had a really tough time out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
She was a street cat. And through consistency and care and, you know, proving myself to her in a way that,
yes,
like, there's trust gained.
Right.
She's a total sweetheart now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe Alex just doesn't understand this.
So what you're saying is
I think he's just a piece of shit.
In order for you and your cat to get along, your cat had to trust you and you had to trust your cat. It couldn't work with just you going, I want this to happen, and then it happens.
Does work with a dog, though.
It can.
Yeah.
Sure can.
And now here's the other thing, too, that I think Alex resents that his wife's cat doesn't like him,
yeah,
because
totally.
He feels entitled to,
yeah,
that respect from the cat.
Uh-huh.
And there's something that's sublimated here
100%.
Between the wife and, like, that's part of why he's so angry.
I think what's amazing to me is one thing that we've also, you know, of all the things that we've done, you know, like giving people an impromptu law class,
mm-hmm.
You know, we've gone through different ways that people have lied in all different ways. But one thing that we also have done is given therapists a really good, like, this is the simplest example of a thing. You know, like, if you want to study malignant narcissism, it's all here. Mm. And you don't even have to think hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. It's out in front of you. It's in your face.
I don't want to Goldwater rule this.
Sure.
But I'm also not a therapist.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex is getting really self-conscious because he spent a long time complaining about cats on this episode.
You know, I've got tons of earth-shattering vital news to go over.
And I hate cats.
I started spouting off about how I don't like cats. I mean, I don't hate them. I just realize that they don't care about me. I realize that they are parasitic, that they could care less about you. And dogs will give their lives for you. And that was my point about these cats trying to eat their owner who was paralyzed on the floor. Dogs don't do that, folks. Dogs don't do that.
Dogs
again, they'll go in the water to save you.
Nah,
they'll starve to death right next to you. They're amazing creatures. In fact, I wish more people were as good as the dogs I know. But
because they didn't talk back to you?
I got this annoying cat. I mean, I pet it and stuff, and I'm nice to it. It's just very annoying, and I know it doesn't care about me, and I don't like having things around me that don't care about me. That I know,
oh man,
are just basically worthless.
Holy shit.
So what I'm saying is, cats compared to dogs, I don't know why anyone has cats. I'm really getting off into petty stuff now. What's your favorite color?
Oh boy. This isn't about the cat.
This is not about the cat. This just keeps getting more and more not about the cat.
This is a show in 2003. This is a mess.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, my God.
Alex. Tough day at the office.
Oh, man. It's... I like it whenever you don't even work, you don't even bother with double entendre. I hate double entendre. Just give me entendre.
He sounds like such a fucking mope when yeah. he's like, I don't like being around things that don't care about me.
You're an adult. You're an adult.
Well, it's tough to remember that he's only like, what? Like,
that's right. He's
early
only like
30s?
31, yeah, 32? Maybe. Yeah.
So he's...
I'm still going to call that an adult. I'm sure, still going
to
do it.
Sure, but it's easy to project his, like, pushing 50 self now onto
this
point.
Well, I find him more mature in this period of time than now.
Yeah.
And even
in many ways.
Period of time, not mature at all.
In many ways, I think he was more of an adult at this point. Mm-hmm. But also, this is clearly transparent feelings being expressed on air that are... Very bizarre.
Yeah, if I ever say something like that, I hope you record it and then play it back for me later to be like, Jordan, you remember when you said this?
I was worried about you.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get to some conspiracy stuff. And turns out around this time, they're talking about putting out those new dollars with color
on
the bills.
Right. Yeah.
And this is a conspiracy, of course.
Of course.
And by the way, you show your internal knowledge, Brandon Burt of the City Weekly.
Real quick, Alex is responding to an op-ed in a Salt Lake City paper.
Yeah.
And so that was what's going on.
I mean,
here.
Unfortunately, if your name is Brandon Burt, it's really easy to get a good. Is that what you're saying, Brandon Burt? That's a good name to get one.
A lot of good letters.
Yeah.
In Salt Lake City, you show your knowledge because the Federal Reserve policy documents of 4+ years ago said that they were going to incrementally change the money. First with a big face, then phasing in color, then the color is getting more bright. And what's the reason for that? Well, one of the side issues is counterfeiting, which the globalists do themselves with this fiat currency owned by private banks.
Okay.
But more importantly, it's about calling in the old money supply, the money that's in the mattress or that's in the bricks over the fireplace or that's buried in a tin can in a Folgers coffee can in the backyard. That's what it does. And they said it's going to do that. They can call in the old money, destroy it, take it out of circulation, which they admit they're doing, and then only have a limited amount. They're trying to go down from 3% actual paper currency or cotton currency, it's actually cloth, compared to the ratios of zeros and ones in the Federal Reserve computer banks. Understand, if you all went to the bank and asked for cash, there's only 3%, and not even that much, they claim 3%, 3% actual cash for zeros and ones on deposit with general depositors.
Yeah. There's not all the money at the bank.
Yeah, if everybody wants to go get all the money at the bank, they will discover that all the money at the bank is actually a creation of that we've agreed upon.
Yeah, it would be so weird. Like, just think about how many bank branches there are.
Yeah, what would you...
Anyway, you would think that if there was any credence to this theory that Alex is putting forth about the pulling in the money supply, then the amount of physical money that was in circulation would have to be down in the years past 2003.
It's the only thing that would make sense.
Yeah, if the goal is to bring in all the cash that's in the mattresses and then restrict the cash supply, there's no other way for things to have gone. Unfortunately, in 2021, there was over double the amount of physical bills in circulation than in 2003, according to the Federal Reserve. Just from 2003 to 2004, approximately 400 million additional bills were added to the circulating pool.
Sure.
This is just nonsense Alex is spouting to try and make his color money conspiracy not sound like a stupid conspiracy, which it is.
So if I understand this one correctly, let me see if I understand the policymakers' thought process behind all of this, okay? They're like... Look, we've got all this money, and it looks fine, but there's too much fucking buried treasure out there.
Yeah.
So if we change the colors of our money, we'll get all that buried treasure back.
You got to get it back. And then restrict the cash supply in order to push people onto FEMA camps.
Yeah.
Also, Alex should be well aware that the people who are hoarding money, like he's describing, they don't trust Federal Reserve notes. They're stashing precious metals.
Yeah.
Most likely, maybe bought from Midas Resources on an Alex Jones special.
If you're somebody listening to Alex Jones, why would you put cash in a...
In a brick?
You've got the guy to buy to turn that into gold with.
Right.
Ugh.
It's silly.
That's absurd.
So, look, they're going to take your money.
Yeah.
Well... They're gonna get all the money from the mattresses,
right?
And now they're gonna have these cool color bills, which are cool, and they have fun colors on them,
the rest of
the world's currencies.
No, it's nice, it's fun.
And then they're gonna force you to put them in the bank, and then if you don't put them in the bank, we've heard this before.
Yep.
They're gonna devalue them.
There we go.
They also say that if you don't keep your money in a bank, they will devalue your money over a year down to worthlessness. Now, this is the official Federal Reserve website, not a conspiracy theory, Brandon Burt. But again, you've shown your knowledge with your little article. You've shown that you're not an idiot. No, no, Mr. Burt. You've shown yourself as a New World Order lackey, bootlicker, trying to convince your readers that we're crazy for being concerned with the strips in the money and the colorization of the money. It's unbelievable, folks.
I think it is a little bit out there to be...
It's unbelievable.
...this concerned about the strips and the color
I mean,
of the
he's,
money.
He's quite literally accurate. It is unbelievable.
Oh, man. Alex's shit has certainly held up in the last 20 years about this one. In particular, the if you have cash, it will digitally be... Here's the only way I can tweak this in my mind.
Sure.
Because I often will hear Alex say stupid shit that is completely detached from reality.
Right.
And try and figure out, like, where is this coming from?
There's a kernel of something there, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not. But I try to find it. And I think with this one, it is just a reflection of you get interest if your money's in the bank.
I think it's either that or inflation. You know, like, inflation makes your money less valuable per...
But that's so abstract.
It is very abstract.
And that's not, like, but even if that is what they're talking... The inflation is what he's talking about.
Right.
That affects the money that's in the bank, too.
Right.
That doesn't just affect bills that you're holding on to.
No.
Whereas the bills, the only difference that I really discern between these two, and granted, I'm not a financial expert.
Right.
But it seems to be that you would earn interest on money that was in the bank, in a savings account, or in some kind of a, interest-bearing account.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just holding on to it in a brick... it's not going to accumulate anything. I don't know. I'm trying to make sense of this. It doesn't make sense.
The reason that I think it has to be inflation is because if he's saying he's reading the Federal Reserve's website, and he's also saying that they devalue currency.
They're going to devalue it down to zero.
I mean, but that's the thing that doesn't make sense.
If you don't put it in the bank.
That makes even less sense.
So I got a $20 bill here.
Right.
I keep it out.
Yeah.
A month later.
$0.
I take it in to the McDonald's.
Right.
I try and get myself... a double cheeseburger, and they say, I need two of these.
No mas.
Yeah, it says 20 on it, but it's actually worth $1.
Right.
Then I'm screwed.
Right, but you
I'm
understand, if that were the case, though, then every single $20 bill in the world would also be worth that $1.
No. Not if I just got a 20
That's
out of the ATM.
That's not how it works.
According to Alex, it is. If I just got it out of the ATM, then it would freshly not be devalued.
He's trying to say that if you have the old bills, then the old bills will be devalued to nothing.
No, because they need to have the strips in them to be able to do it.
Man, I just don't know how to make this evil conspiracy work.
No,
I just don't. I just don't see a way to make it happen.
No.
If I'm hanging with the devil, I'm like, hey, buddy, you got to take the L on this one. I don't think we're going to pull it off.
Yeah, it might be nonsense.
Yeah.
So we get a caller, and this guy has an interesting question, and it's essentially, what if Michael Jackson supported Palestine?
That's a good question. I've been asking myself that question for decades, at least since his death.
What would happen if Michael Jackson came out and said that the Palestinians were getting a bum rap?
That would not be good for the Palestinians.
Change politics now, wouldn't it?
Shows how we pay way too much attention to what celebrities do.
Sure, but I mean, he's a major league world figure who romps around with all the world leaders, doesn't he? I mean, when he goes to Asia or when he goes to Germany, he's meeting with all the dignitaries.
I don't think very much about that space alien.
Sir, you scare me a little bit.
Well, I'm just saying is one thing about Jackson's problem is I think he's being politically assassinated. And I was wondering...
Michael Jackson is a demonic... hog goblin.
What?
Okay.
What is happening?
He's a demonic hobgoblin.
Hog goblin, not hobgoblin.
Yes.
Gotcha. what I find interesting,
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to count on me being a witch here,
right?
I have called, before Ye's meltdown, I called Ye the new Michael, the our generation's Michael Jackson. And I feel like later career is also going similarly.
I don't know. What I do know
yeah.
is that this caller is asking a different question than Alex's answer.
Very much so.
I think he's still mad about the cats.
I think he's asking a more abstract question, like, what if somebody with the power of a Michael Jackson were
right.
to shed light upon this scenario?
Right.
And then, Alex is like, you can't say Michael Jackson in front of me.
Right. I think that's what's going on. And then at the same time, running concurrently, this guy is also defending Michael Jackson in a weird way.
In a very weird way.
And, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's...
I think he's being...
Like, questions like this that are out of the blue are fun.
He's being politically assassinated or assassinated politically?
His character.
His character.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah.
Also, after this, Alex starts to talk about how Michael Jackson has committed crimes against children.
Sure.
And he lists off some folks. And he I believe the Dutch royal family
sure.
Does not bring in Epstein.
Ooh,
so that,
so
that's
how about that?
In this
yeah.
era of his reporting.
I thought he was supposed to be so far ahead.
Maybe not this far ahead.
Nah,
2003
might be too early.
That might
be a little too far ahead
yeah.
for even, yeah, yeah.
So Alex got a call, I guess. I don't remember hearing this call. But somebody asked him about nonviolence, mm-hmm. and he didn't answer the question.
Right.
And so now he's getting back to it.
Violently.
Well, I had a listener yesterday that asked me where I stood on nonviolence, and I said I'd answer the question, and I forgot to do it. Wesley in Tennessee brought it up, Tom. But, again, at this point, I'm nonviolent. I'm defensive because we're doing more good waking folks up in the info war. If they launch an attack, if they try to arrest people, round up, do all of that, then... things will be much different, but it's up to everybody's own discernment. Go ahead.
Here's why Alex's show sucks. There's so many reasons, but one of them is the circumstance where violence would be, you'd pivot from nonviolence to
yeah.
violence. He's hit that mark over and over again.
Again and again.
And if you want to look at it from a big picture circumstance,
mm.
you could say that the COVID vaccines are that.
Yeah.
For sure, based
100%.
On his coverage.
Yep.
There is literally no reason why somebody like Alex, if he believed the things that he was saying,
right.
if he was a sincere actor, wouldn't be like, I don't know, basically Timothy
yeah,
McVeigh-ing.
Go to town.
Know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
It seems, this is why it's dangerous. You create this expectation of some future time when that catharsis will be
yeah.
encouraged and it'll be available to you for all the anger that I'm building up in you.
Right.
And then that never comes.
Right.
And then there's a mass killing of millions of people with this poison vaccine. And it's like, oh, next time, then
yep.
it's going to be time to
yep.
really... It's the tension and really
terrorist edging. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
yep.
It's such a consistent thing within his rhetoric. It's
yeah.
just
I mean, it's I
fucked up.
It's fucked up that people can survive it so long. I couldn't. Like
but
living
I think a
in
lot
that
of
constant
don't.
Space. Well,
I think that's why
yeah.
there's probably not a huge amount of retention of his audience
right.
over long stretches of time.
Right, right, right.
I
right.
think a lot of them move on to other things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, things that either make them realize that they shouldn't be doing that or things that make them come, terroristically speaking.
Yeah, or yeah. distract them with a different
yeah.
brand of conspiracism.
Yeah.
That isn't so about
it's
that
just
tension
so
building.
Tense, yeah.
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 So Alex has an article that he's covering, and I'm just going to give you long and short of this. Alex thinks it's really weird that... Army operations in Iraq have named some operations after things in Red Dawn.
Yeah.
And he's decided that...
I think that's a little weird, too.
It's a movie.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that
the
point,
Americans
too.
Americans don't know what they're doing in Iraq. They know all too well. Check out, for example, Captain Christopher Serino of the 82nd Airborne, who told an English journalist in Faljala a few weeks ago,
Fallujah.
Quote, the men are
Faljala?
Being attacked
Ouch.
By... Syrian-trained terrorists and local freedom fighters. That's right, he said freedom fighters. Now check out the code names employed in the weekend swoop of Saddam Hussein near Tikrit, Red Dawn, they called it, with suspected Iraqi resistance locations tagged Wolverine 1, Wolverine 2, and so
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Press comments have noted that Red Dawn, a 1984 John Millis flick that chronicles a Soviet invasion of the U.S. is a favorite movie of American right-wingers. What hasn't often been pointed out is that the heroes of the Red Dawn are a brave band of ragged small-town resistors to the invasion, and they call themselves the Wolverines. It gets worse, folks. It gets worse. So people were going, man, Operation Red Dawn, that's what the Soviets, you know, that's a Soviet term for invading, a term the Army had for a Soviet invasion, sneak attack. And then they're even calling the Iraqi resistors Wolverines, our troops taking the part, seeing themselves as Soviet occupiers.
I think they're just like movies.
Yeah.
I think that, just like you, Alex, they're just like movies.
Yeah.
Look, do you remember what any like group of the Soviets would have been called in that, or the Chinese? Who's it? The communists who are invading? I haven't seen Red Dawn, honestly.
In Red Dawn? No, it was the Russians.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, yeah. That was back whenever, during the Cold War, you could just pick the Russians and be like, hey, this is a movie.
For some reason, I thought it might have been China, but then I think that's the new one, right? That
got canceled. Well, the new one was going to be China.
Right.
But then, because we live in the woke world where maybe it's actually a smart idea to think about the weirdo enemies you're creating culturally.
And the disrespect you're showing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, no, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's where I got it mixed up in my
head. They changed it to just like more general. Generalized, I think still Asian terrorists.
But my point here is, do you remember what they would have called themselves?
No.
You remember Wolverines.
Of course.
Because they yell it.
Yeah.
And so you,
Wolverines!
Right.
Yeah.
I told you, I haven't seen that movie, I know that.
I understand, yeah.
So it makes sense.
You haven't seen Swayze? Come on, man. Come on. We're going to have a Swayze-a-thon. We're going to watch all Swayzes.
I don't know about that.
All the Swayze.
It's going to be a long night. I haven't seen a lot of his work.
Well,
I have seen Roadhouse, though.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, I mean, like, Red Dawn's a fun movie. Maybe it was a morning operation.
Sure.
Calling the Wolverine. This doesn't mean that they're casting themselves as the Soviets.
What's interesting about it, though, is that if it does, it would be apt. Like, if you were going to cast Red Dawn in the Iraq War, the United States would be the bad guys. They're the ones invading you. And if there was a small group of freedom fighters in Iraq, they would be the Wolverines. It's not a very subtle movie.
True. There is a dynamic there that Alex isn't unpacking.
Right.
But I also, I'm reluctant because I don't know what is going on at this point or who the forces are.
Totally. You
know,
Me neither. Me neither.
But yeah, I don't know. He's just weird. I think it's just so strange that Alex compares everything to movies, and then somebody compares something to a movie.
He's like, ah!
He uses movie references.
Yeah.
So one thing that we miss out on a lot is the rest of the world.
Yes, that's true.
Because Alex has a very Western-centric viewpoint.
He's a chauvinist.
Yes. And so he gets a call from a guy. He's got a great question about what the globalist plans are elsewhere.
For the globe.
Well, not the entire globe, but just elsewhere in the globe.
Elsewhere.
Ian in Colorado, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I had a question. My girlfriend right now is in Minsk, is where she's from, and I was curious what the globalist agenda in that area of the world might be.
Your audio's a little fuzzy. Where is she in the world?
Minsk.
Showing my ignorance, is that in Eastern Europe?
Yes. Well, kind of right in between. It's right in between Poland and Russia.
Yeah, Central Europe.
Right.
I know about the generalities of that region. I know a lot about Ukraine, Poland, the Balkans, but there's so many. There's like 50 little countries there.
Oh, so many little countries.
So many of the... Listen, I know everything about the globalist plan, but... they don't know where Minsk is.
Yeah, I told you Belarus would come back up. It's in Alex not knowing where Minsk is.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, apparently Saddam Hussein and his sons and all the gold have fled to Belarus, but Alex doesn't know the capital of the country.
They fled to Belarus.
He knows a great deal.
Now, where is Minsk, though? Is it in the middle of Belarus? Or is it on the edges? You don't know. Neither does Alex, nor do the globalists. No one does.
Mm-mm.
Geography is beyond us all.
So we have one last clip here, and Alex is trying to navigate this call, talking to this guy, without revealing that
he has no idea.
Still, even after finding out it's in Central Europe or whatever, still doesn't know it's Belarus.
Oh, boy.
But there's so many. There's like 50 little countries there. I can't particularly tell you about that country on the border of Central and Eastern Europe.
Uh-huh.
But
oh
I will
God.
Tell you, those countries are under the same system they were 20 years ago.
That country on
same
the
same system they were 15 years ago or 10 years ago. That the same communist strongmen now just take private control of all the banks and money, and
right, like
they still
Georgia,
got
huh?
secret police and everything else. I mean, I don't the particulars of that little region. I don't have the specifics.
I didn't know if there were any, so I just wanted to kind of double check.
All right, so it sounds like there's no plans. The globalists
yep.
have no
yep.
plans.
I appreciate everything about this call.
I do too. And here's why. It's because there's dual levels of things that are being revealed.
Yes.
The first is just a primary basic information, ignorance being revealed.
Sure.
In as much as you
yeah.
don't know that Minsk
doesn't know where
is in Belarus.
Minsk is. Yeah.
Some people, you know, not everybody needs to know everything.
I
only think it's interesting, like right now, because Alex is spinning this conspiracy or has been about Belarus.
Exactly.
And so you'd think that maybe there would be a little bit of like it rubs off or something.
You would hope.
But so you have that surface layer ignorance, and then you have the second layer, which is just somebody who's in good faith and like optimistically calling in to ask, should my girlfriend be worried about
almost
any...
almost like checking in.
Yeah.
Like, is there going to be a storm tomorrow?
Alex is the guy who studies the globalists' plans. He knows everything. And I don't know what's going on in that region.
I mean, the everybody involved, like the guy calling in about the globalist plan with a very nonchalant air of like, well, she's in Minsk. I just want to know if she's safe. You know, like,
yeah,
what's
yeah.
the forecast?
Yeah, yeah.
What do we got coming up on the weather? Is there going to be a cold front moving in? Like, mm-hmm. what should we do here?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I love that I'm supposed to know everything, but I have no idea what's going on in multiple 60 countries. Like, listen, here's what I would have said. Frankly, I actually don't know where Minsk is off the top of my head. Is it? I know it's in Central Europe. What country is it in?
No, here's what I would have done if I were Alex. I would have been like, Minsk is fucked.
You're right.
It's so extreme with it that you don't have to reveal that you don't know
right,
anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you're just making up the globalist
exactly.
shit.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's the problem, because he got to the point, the next level that makes it beautiful is the... that country
right.
in those
yeah, yeah.
in that area of like the I know where it is. Why don't you explain to the crowd? Why
exactly.
don't you go ahead and tell everybody
it's that
else?
Same energy.
It's the same energy, and that's what makes it beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what it is.
Now here's if Alex knew that it was in Belarus,
mm-hmm.
here's something he could do. He could say, "Well, no, because Saddam's been found by this point." But the kids
yep.
might still be there, according
yep.
to Alex. So we could do something like Minsk is fine. Belarus has a contract. They're
oh,
hiding
yeah,
this,
that's a good one.
They're hiding
yeah,
the
yeah.
Saddam
Minsk
twins.
Minsk is a great
brothers.
Place to hang out because...
Yeah, she'll be
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She'll be fine. It's a safe haven.
It's a safe zone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of thing.
That's smart.
Yeah, but he didn't
know
what country
it
was.
Didn't
so.
Know it.
Anyway, we come to the end of this, and honestly, I think... this is all worth it just for Alex's feelings on cats.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Brutal stuff. So angry at cats.
It's so over the top. It's so over the top. Angry. And
presumably
that...
about a story about an elderly lady
yes.
who was in stable condition
yep.
at the hospital.
Yep.
I don't know why. Yeah, the
everything's fine.
The bounce back was extreme.
But it does make you, shouldn't you look at that and go, if his reaction is that extreme towards just cats existing, perhaps we should grade on a curve about how mad he is towards the globalists. Perhaps the globalists are equivalent to cat fear.
Well, you can do that. Or you can ask yourself, is this really about cats?
Hey, that's the right question.
Anyway, we'll be back, Jordan, with another episode. Maybe Alex will be back in studio,
could
so we'll be able to check in, or we'll trudge further on towards the scream, towards Howard Dean's scream. But either way, we'll be back. Until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm, why not? I'm the juiciest ice cube.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.